Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you. We always enjoy coming here and seeing all the new faces and reconnecting with people. So it's been a real pleasure to be here. This morning, I was just going to start off with sharing a little bit of an update on the ministry that we're involved in and the changes that are going on, and then take some time to share from God's Word. So before we do that, why don't we just go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer and just ask His blessing on the time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. We thank You for Your great love that You showed us in Your Son. And we thank You for the privilege that You have given to us to be Your children and to know that our future is secure because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And Lord, this morning I just pray that our hearts will rejoice in that. And that as we rejoice in that, that You will be changing us into Your image and allowing us to be sharing this great message with others that are around us and that are around the world, Lord. We just thank You for allowing us to be Your messengers of good news of Your love. And we pray that in Your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll see how this works here. All right, it works. Great. Good job, guys. They're scrambling and they made it work. Just a picture of our family. My wife, Heather, and our three daughters, Abby, Emily, and Natalie. Emily's not with us today. She spent all week at camp and got sick, so she's with Grandma and Grandpa this weekend instead of sharing it with all of you. So we thought you would enjoy that a little better. There we go. Now I turned it on, so it should work better. Just a little bit of an update. The HIV/AIDS care home, as Don said, we were running that this past few years, and we're shut that down at the end of 2013. One of the things that we saw as we were ministering to the patients that would come to us is that many of the ladies, they said they were involved in a church. And so as you start talking to them, we realize they know absolutely nothing about the Bible. And then as we got talking to their pastors, we also found out their pastors didn't know much about the Bible either. But many of them had a real hunger and desire to know more about the Bible. So we started praying, you know, Lord, please be sending someone to work with these pastors. And that was about a year before we closed. And I said, you know, my schedule is jam-packed full. I don't have any time for this. Well, God saw that I needed a bit more time for that, so He shut the care home down. And lo and behold, I had a lot of time to invest in pastoral training. The care home building, some things it's now being used for, it's housing the pastors, housing for the pastors' conferences. It's used as a multi-purpose building for our church. It's right, the church we worked with there. They have a daycare. It's used for that during the week, and a Sunday school room. And so we moved into the pastoral training, and it was very exciting just to see how God used this. Some Pastor Clement, one of the guys that Don and Ben and Ray met when they were over there. And one of the things that was just amazing just to see these guys hunger for the Word of God. One of the events that made us realize that this was a great need was Clement had invited me to speak at a Zulu chief inauguration. So I was speaking and there was another Zulu pastor. And the Zulu pastor got up to preach and he opened his Bible and he stood there for a minute and he calls Clement up. So Clement comes up there and he hands the Bible to Clement and says something to him. So Clement opens to a passage, reads it, and goes and sits down. And then this guy preached for about 15 minutes, very animated. And then it was my turn to preach. Later that week, I was sitting with Clement, and I said, okay, what happened at that exchange there? He's like, he'd never read that passage. He didn't even know where it was. And he was able to, he just pulled it out and just preached on that. And that's the problem with most Zulu pastors, is that they're pastors because they preach, not because they're qualified or because they know the Word of God. And so that was one of the things that really started us realizing, wait a second here, there's a great opportunity. There's people that are preaching in pulpits every Sunday, but we could be impacting what they're preaching. So they already have a congregation, they already are already supported, but if we can come alongside these guys, what an impact that could make. So we started reaching out to these guys, and God started bringing these men to us. And just as another story to show their hunger for the Word of God, Tembisa, the guy on the left there. There was one day we were sitting, I would go out each week to these different sites to meet with the guys. And one week we're sitting there and half hour late, I'm thinking, wow, you know, they're just not being very committed, they're not on time. Well, Tembiso comes in and he apologizes and he said, you know, I'm sorry I'm late. I didn't have any money for fuel for my car, so I had to go ask my neighbors to borrow money. And someone finally gave me the equivalent of $5. And I used $3 for fuel and the other $2 were using to buy food tonight because I don't have any food left. So my perception was way off the mark. His hunger for the Word of God was incredible, and he was willing to spend three of his last $5 just to get there for teaching, and that's how important it was for him. And so we saw that over and over again, that these guys are so hungry for the Word of God, wanting people to teach them. Some different teaching times they were able to be involved with. So what we did each week was I went out, we'd meet in different locations. Because transportation was a problem, we'd find a central location for a few guys. And in the small groups like that, it also allowed for some good dialogue and allowing them to ask the questions and think through the process. Instead of just me giving tons of information, they were able to take that and assimilate it and think through how to best use that. Some of it was done in English, some of it was done in Zulu. And then we'd also have some conferences about two times a year, two back-to-back weekends, twice a year. We'd have some heavy teaching conferences. And I was mentioning a few of the guys that we have some possibilities for guys that are here in the States that would be interested in getting committed to go over and teaching twice a year for about a three-year period. Because we like to have guys that are able to come in and build good relationships on a continual basis with these guys, but also it's an opportunity to teach some systematic theology. And it's just great just to be there and talk with them as well, not only in the class time, but also to get these guys together and allow them to encourage and challenge one another at a pastor's conference. One of the things that was really exciting as we were leaving, this is Bongani, one of the other pastors. As we were leaving, one of the things we had been challenging him with over and over again is, someday we may not be here. You guys need to figure out how this is going to go to the next level. And so, as this is us saying goodbye to Bongani, or me saying goodbye to Bongani, and one of the things he said as we were leaving is, you know, God has really challenged me to be looking at how I can be now reaching the next generation of young people and equipping them with the same things you've taught us. And so for me, that was so exciting because I realized that your work doesn't just stop when you leave. When you build into other people and equip them, they get to carry on and sometimes even do it better than you. So we're praying that God will do that with these guys. Some of you may recognize Steve Stairs. Steve Stairs was a pastor here in this area a while years ago. He's the one that is heading up the module teaching that comes in and works with the seminars. So if people are interested in doing that, he'd be the one that would be going with you, helping you do that. And now as we're moving up to East Africa, we're looking to potentially reproduce the same model in different countries as God sends us missionaries as well. So we're excited to see what God does. One of the other ministries I was able to be involved in these past few years was the team leader for our missionaries in our region in South Africa. And one of the things that we enjoyed the most about that, about a third of these are in our region, the other part down in Cape Town area. One of the things we enjoyed about the ministry with that was we love to be able to build into the lives of other missionaries. The more they were thriving, the more they were encouraged, the more their ministries were doing well. And we can duplicate ourselves by pouring ourselves into these guys and seeing that as they were succeeding, that was success for us. So seeing success not just as our ministry, but seeing success as the ministry of the Zulu pastors, the ministry of the other missionaries, and pouring into them and seeing that it multiplied when we were able to do that. And so we greatly enjoyed that ministry. There's a bunch of the crazy MKs there. I see our conversion got lost a little bit in from Mac to PC. They don't talk very well to each other. The new role is the regional administrator for East Africa. And in September last year, ABWE contacted us and asked us to pray about taking on a new position, the regional administrator for East Africa. As we prayed about this, one of the things that we just looked at was, okay, how is God blessing the ministry in South Africa, and how has he equipped us? And we really saw that with the ministry to the missionaries, as well as the ministry to the pastors, one of the things we loved the most was building into other people and seeing them succeed in ministry. And with the new role, it was like God was asking us to say, okay, now I'm giving you an opportunity to do the same kind of thing, not in one region, but in five countries. And so as we saw that and prayed about that, we really said, all right, this is a lot bigger than what we were anticipating, but God's got the plan, and he'll work out all the details. So we decided to follow him in that direction. Our goal as we move into this is just effective ministries for the glory of God. And the means is by providing shepherding, encouragement, leadership, and resourcing to the missionary families of East Africa. There's some things that our main focus is as you work with missionaries. One of the top one is spiritual health. One of the things that God has encouraged me the most with over these past few years is there was a couple of verses in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:20 and 21, it says, in a large house are there not vessels of gold and silver, wood and earthenware, some for honor, some for dishonor. Now if a man cleanses himself, he will be a vessel for honor, useful to the master, ready for every good work. And there's so many other passages that show us and remind us that God is not just interested in what we do, he's interested in who we are. Because what we do flows out of our heart. It flows out of who we are. Like it says in Proverbs, above all else, guard your heart, for from it flow the wellsprings of life. And realizing that is the number one priority, is focusing on my spiritual health, who I am as a person. And as we work with missionaries, that's our number one focus, is ensuring and shepherding and encouraging them in their spiritual walk with the Lord, because their ministry flows out of their hearts. And if they're not where they should be, their ministry is going to flounder. God's not going to be blessing that as much as he would if they were growing in grace. And so that's our number one priority. Some other things we'll focus on: family health, team health. I'm sure you've all heard of missionaries that have come home because of team problems. If we can work with them early on, it makes them stay on the field longer. And so one of the things we'll be doing is helping to make sure that teams are working well, families are working well, and also building into the leaders of each of those countries as well. Some other things be encouragement and upliftment, empowerment, accountability. We were visiting with some missionaries in Tanzania and sitting out on their veranda a few months ago, and they were saying, you know, we've been here for 2 years, and we're the brand new missionaries. And we didn't have any veterans to help us along as we got here. So we got to the field, and we're just barely keeping our heads above water. And now we have new missionaries that are coming. We don't know what to do. How are we supposed to orientate these people? And so took a drink of water and said, well, you know, do you guys have things that you wish people would have told you when you got here? And they looked at each other and like, yeah, we have this huge list of things we wish people would have been able to help us with. I was like, well, why don't you take a couple weeks and just write those things down? Write them all down and see what you come up with. And so, oh, well, we can do that. And so about a month later, I open up my computer and there's an email from them with this perfectly laid out orientation plan of all these things that they're going to cover with people. And for me, I was so excited because I said, you know, they're being proactive and not reactive. They're taking what they know and they're working with it. And it wasn't something that I had to come up with, but it was just to empower and encourage them in these things to head them on the right path. And so we look forward to doing a lot more of that with the different missionaries. Another part of the role will be with leadership. The number one thing as we help playing with missionaries is to encourage them in prayer, but also through strategic planning. One of the missionaries told us, you know, we feel like our ministry looks like this sign right now. They've been in the country for about a year, and they're like, we have 15 different ways we could go, and they're all good ministries, but which ones are the best? And so I said, there, you know, we're really looking forward to sitting down with you and talking through these different avenues of ministry. They've already looked at one, which would be medical ministry at their compound, and they realized if we do that, we're going to be open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. That's a bad idea. So they realize, okay, maybe some of the ministry opportunities aren't the best. And so they're looking forward to being able to talk with us through that. Heather's a nurse, and so she'll be able to help with a lot of the medical ministries, planning those. And in four of the countries, we have medical personnel. Another part will be through recruitment. Been working with that here in the States, meeting with people. If anyone's interested in going to East Africa, we'll meet with you. But enjoying that part of the ministry as well. And then the other part, that'll be what we do. The regional administrator role will be that part. It won't take up all of our time. So in Tanzania, we'll also be able to connect with some of the other ministries there, potentially moving into doing some more pastoral training or coming alongside one of the other ministries where they're going to be discipling teachers that are going to be sent out across Tanzania with the goal of having them, equipping them to be church planters. I just encourage you as you pray with us for East Africa. This is going to be the region we're going to be working with in East Africa. We're going to be living in Tanzania. Lord willing, moving there in September. And Tanzania is about 1.25 the size of Texas. So it's a big chunk of land. And we're going to be on the coast in Dar es Salaam, a city of about 4 million. We'll be working with Uganda, South Sudan, Ethiopia, and Kenya. And we'll be overseeing the ABWE missionaries in these countries. This kind of shows a bit of the spread of Islam as it moves down the coast of Africa. And you can see that East Africa is really located in a pivotal area there because it's located in a position where we can be building up the churches and expanding the churches to help stop the spread of Islam as it moves down through Africa. Some of the teams, Tanzania team, some pictures there from the city. I just came back from a trip from visiting all the countries. Some traffic, some roadside stands. The country of South Sudan is the newest country in the world. And just a picture of the husband and the son there. The wife and daughters were out at the boarding school visiting. When you fly in, they are in the middle of nowhere. You fly for hours to get out to this place, and there is just nothing there. And you can see the little villages there, the little circles are little villages out in the middle of the countryside there. You have to well-paved roads. They called us on the morning we were flying in. He emailed us and said, we had rain last night. We're not sure if we can get across the river. It may be too high. So you may have to end up at some other camp. So we're like, okay. But they made it across. And just the compound they're working on there, which if there's any electricians that want to go on a mission trip in the next month, they need to have their house wired. The church service meets under a tree. Some of the kids were singing. And then just visiting in the village there. In Ethiopia, the country there, the missionaries there are working at a Christian hospital. They just arrived there recently. And good examples of people that, what do you call second career missionaries? They retired and said, all right, now we're going to go into missions. So they're in their 60s and learning a new language and starting over in a new country. So you never know. It's never too late. God can still use you. The hospital there in Ethiopia. And just some of the countryside. And then Uganda, these missionaries are going to be still raising support, and they're going to be working with medical missions as well as pastoral training. just to encourage people to think about what God has in store for you. Some prayer requests. Yeah, this is a, I need to update this one actually. We need about $600 still to raise. And I just encourage you to be praying for us in that. That's a monthly support that we're needing to raise to be able to go over to Tanzania to help cover the cost of living increase there, which is a lot more expensive, as well as the travel to different countries. So I encourage you to pray for that. And a few other prayer requests, just transitioning to a new country, starting all over again. This furlough we travel each weekend and a lot of the weeks we travel. And then for our girls as they adjust to a new country. And then we get to learn Swahili too. So you can pray that that goes quickly. Thankfully, it's similar to Zulu. So we'll see how quickly that goes. So I encourage you to pray with us on those things. Downstairs, there is a table with some prayer cards if you'd like to take one of those. And if you don't get our updates, you can sign up on our website there. All right, one of the things that, as we move into Tanzania, one of the things that's going to be different for us there is that it's working with a Muslim population. Now, you guys, before I get going here, what time do you guys normally finish up? Like 2 o'clock? Is it, that's what Al said. I'll try to finish by noon. We're going to be working with a Muslim population. Now, that's going to be very different for us. And one of the things that has really stood out to us as we make this shift is seeing that one of the greatest ways that we as Christians communicate Christ in a Muslim population is through love. That speaks so clearly. That's something that's not built into the Islam religion is the message of love. And one of the things that we as Christians can do is we communicate with our words, but we also communicate by our life of love. And so this morning, I just wanted to take some time to look at some different ways that love is important, the reasons why love is important, and also just some ways that we can grow in our love for others. When I was in high school and college, there was a couple different cars I had, and one of the cars had, as in most cars in Michigan end up having eventually, is rust problems. And my dad and I took this thing in, and we ground down, and we did tons of body work for about a week on one side of this car. And finally got it all fixed up, got it back on the road, driving with it. And you know, it drove the exact same. I spent an entire week on this thing, and it drove the exact same when I got it on the road. Another car I had transmission problems. And, you know, the gears were grinding. I just couldn't, you can't find them, grind them, and you get them in there, and it was rough. So finally we took it in and had that transmission replaced. Now, when I got in the car with that time after it was fixed, it was totally different. Every time you changed gears, you could tell that it worked well. Everything moved smoothly. And it changed the entire way the car drove. And in Christian life, a lot of times, there are some things that are like bodywork problems, and there are some things that are like transmission problems. There are some things that we focus on so much, and it really doesn't change a whole lot. But there are other things that change everything. And love is one of those transmission problems. When we have a love problem, it affects everything. But when it works right, it also touches everything. All of our relationships with people, all of our interactions, it all goes smoother when we are walking in love. And this morning, I just want to challenge us with that. We read earlier from 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. I'm going to go ahead and read that again. If you have your Bible, you can follow along. In 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3 says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing." So we're going to look at, first of all, we're going to look at three different reasons love is important. And we're going to look from each verse, 1, 2, and 3. And then we're going to look at some ways to grow in love. Four different ways to grow in love. So verse number one, why is love important for us? Love is important as we speak because without love, I communicate nothing. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And I'm not going to do this to you, but I've done this before where you clang on the cymbal next to the microphone. Do you think you could hear, and then I speak. Could you hear anything? Would you be able to hear anything I said? No. Why? Well, the cymbal is so abrasive that it drowns out your voice. And the same thing happens in our life when we're speaking words of love, but our actions aren't loving. Our actions are so abrasive that people don't even hear what we're saying. All they hear is this noise from our life, that our life is unloving. And so they're not hearing these words that we're saying. And they may be good, but they're drowned out by our life. And the reason for that is because our message is a message of love. When we speak words of love but don't live a life of love, no one's going to listen to the message. Because the life is what validates the message. The life is what validates the message. And this is kind of like if you were playing cards and you had a trump suit, your life is like that trump suit. Your life trumps your words. It always wins out. So if your life is unloving but your words are loving, your life is going to win out and cancel out the other words that you're speaking. Now, without love, we communicate nothing, but with love, we communicate everything. Because the message, like we sang about, the message that we give is the love of God to others. In 1 John 4:10 through 12, it says, "In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us." Now, this is an amazing thought. If you think about this, God's love abides in us. Not Kyle's love abides in Kyle. God's love abides in me, and God's love abides in you. An amazing thing is that when people interact with you as you're a loving person, they're not just seeing your love. They're seeing the love of the Almighty God in you, lived out through you. They're actually getting to see God's love in you. And that is an amazing thing. It's more than just your love. They're experiencing the love of God lived out through us. Like it says, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. And they get to see Christ in us. So the first reason that love is important, without love we communicate nothing, but with love we communicate everything. Look at verse 2. The second reason love is important is because as we serve God, because without love I am nothing. It says, if I have all prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. As Christians, a lot of times what we can do is we'll look at our gifts, or we'll look at our faith, or our knowledge of the Bible, and we'll kind of do a quick evaluation level of where we are on the scale of mature Christians. And we'll gauge it by those things. But what God's saying here is, if you don't have love, you're nothing in His book, even if you have all those other things. A couple weeks ago when I was traveling to visit East Africa, we went on a lot of flights, and you're sitting in there in these huge airplanes, and they have the wings that stretch out that are filled to the brim with fuel. They've got the engines on the sides of the planes, depending on which plane you're on. They've got the engines there, the jet engines there, and you know, the pilots go through their check. You know, they've got fuel, they've got oil pressure, they've got all these things, and they're ready to go. But love is kind of like the fuel line that goes from the fuel tanks to the engines. It allows all of the knowledge and all of the wisdom and everything, it allows it to be applied to the life. And without love in our life, it's like kinking off those fuel lines. We've got all the fuel there. We've got all the knowledge. We've got all the faith. We've got all that. But it's absolutely useless if that fuel line is kinked. And love in our life is like that. Because love allows us to apply that knowledge. It allows us to apply faith. And God is looking to see if our lives are applying the knowledge. It's far more important that we actually live the way He wants us to than just know it, isn't it? Most of us know what we're supposed to do, but God is interested in how we're actually applying that. And many of the times in our life, we're like that big plane sitting there with all the fuel in the world, but the fuel line's kinked and we're not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere in God's book. We are nothing. But with love, when we serve, we are everything because we are who God wants us to be. It says in John 4:12, no one's ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. And when we love, we abide in Him. And when we abide in Him, God works through us. God works through us. John 15:4-5 says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's just been a challenge to me to think through, if I desire my life to be fruitful, love is essential. To be abiding in God and to have Him flowing through me, love is essential. The third reason love is important because our future reward, love is important for our future reward because without love I gain nothing. Verse 3 says, if I give away all I have and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. The irony of self-love is that it kind of self-destructs. If you think about when we live for ourselves and not for others, That's self-love. We're living for our temporal good, though, right? Now, when we live for our temporal good, does that actually help us in the future? No. It actually hinders us in the future. So self-love is actually not really loving ourselves eternally. It's loving ourselves temporally. And as we think about how can we love ourselves eternally, well, the best thing we can do is to not worry about our temporalness and to focus on others. And in doing so, it is actually loving ourselves eternally because it benefits us eternally in the reward that God gives to us. It's not putting ourselves first, it's putting other people first in their good. But in the end, it actually does benefit us as God promises us it will. Love is important for us to have because without love, we'll be serving in vain. Has anyone here ever done the right thing from the wrong heart? Anyone? Okay. There's just a couple of them here. That's a couple of honest people. A lot of times we know what we should do, right? We know what we should do, and sometimes we actually even feel guilted into doing it. And we do it. But we may be grumbling. Most of us have had kids that grumble and clean their room, right? We do the same thing as adults. We do the same thing. But here's what's important to remember is that God is looking at our hearts. And God rewards based on our hearts, not just our external actions. And so while on the exterior, we may be doing the right things, if it's coming from the wrong heart, we're kind of shooting ourselves in the foot for eternal rewards because God rewards based on our hearts. And that can just be a real challenge to us to think about that and to pray through that. That, okay, not only am I doing the right thing, but Lord, help me to have the right heart. Help me to help this to spring from a loving heart as I do these things. Because it benefits us in the end in that God rewards that. And God calls us to do that. And that's just something that God has been challenging my heart with as I look at what we do and making sure it's springing from the right heart. All right, so we've looked at three different reasons that love is important. Just to encourage us in that. And now I want to look at a few different ways that we can grow in our love. And there's just a few short different things to think through and pray through. The first one is we grow in our love to God. We grow in our love to God. In Mark 12, it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, with all your strength." The second is this, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." There's no other commandment greater than these. And in 1 John 4:19-21, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he's not seen. And this is the commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. So as we grow in our love to God, we begin to serve him instead of ourselves. And that needs to be our focus, is putting God at the center of our hearts. The second way is this, we submit to God's will. When we say, "Lord, I want to serve you," God kind of replies and says, "Good. The way that I want you to serve me, the way that I want you to love me, is I want you to love others." And this can be extremely helpful because the way that we serve God, the way that we love him, is through others. And so, has anyone here, another question, honesty, has anyone here met people that are difficult to love? Okay, there's more honesty there, yes. Some people throwing their hands up. And sometimes we're those people, but we're going to encounter people that are difficult to love. And one of the ways that can help us to love them the way we should is to remember that behind that person is God. And what he's saying is, the way that I want you to show your love for me is I want you to love that person. I want you to love me through that person. And as we see that person that's difficult to unlove, we see Christ behind them. And we say, "All right, I know that they're difficult to love, but you are not. Lord, you are unchanging. You never change. You are the most lovely of all. I should love you all the time. There's nothing that changes in you that's ever going to be unlovely, Lord. So in showing you love, I'm going to do that through this person. I'm going to express my love to you as I love this person." And that can be very helpful as we encounter those unlovely people, those people that are difficult to love, to remember that we're loving God through them. An amazing result of us submitting to his will and letting him direct our life is that he loves through us. As we saw there in 1 John 4, that his love is perfected in us. And Galatians 2:20 says, "I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So behind that person is God. And we're loving God through that person, but inside of us is also God. And he is helping us to love, and he will help us to love. A third way is that we follow Christ's example. Philippians 2:1-8 says, "If there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, and any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, although he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of an ambassador, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." And as we look at the example of Christ, we often see areas of our own life that we're not being as loving as we should. And we can use him as an example to follow. Just a statement that's been a good reminder to me is, if I have a love of people problem, I have a love of God problem. And that puts things back into perspective. If I have a love of people problem, I have a love of God problem, because that's where it all roots from and stems from. The last way that I would just encourage you with is, as you look at your life and evaluate your love for others, I'd encourage you to do it in four different areas. The first one is how we is the words that we speak. Are the words that we speak loving words? Are they genuine loving words? The second one is your actions. Are the actions that we do really coming from a heart of love? Or are they just doing the right thing? To challenge us to think through that. And two other ones that I'm just becoming a bit more aware of. Ladies are probably more aware of these earlier on than guys are. But is our tone of voice. You can say something, you can use words that are loving, but if you say it in a tone of voice that's unloving, that's really showing what's in your heart, right? Because we can say, how can I help you? Or, how can I help you? Which one is really loving? Well, the second one really shows what's in our hearts. And if our hearts is where our love comes from, then those words, while they may be said in the right way, might be the right words, it's not loving. A fourth way is to think about is our body language. Our body language is like the filter that's often, things get through that filter. We're not very good at filtering that one. And the reason I point that out is because it's letting out what's really in our hearts. Because you could say, how can I help you? Or you can say, how can I help you? Now, that just leaked out all kinds of stuff because that showed what's going on in my heart. That shows that I'm not being loving. And I would just challenge you to think through not only what you're saying, but your tone of voice and your body language. What's really coming out? And not that you can try to just change that, but say, maybe the Lord's showing you something there that's what's really going on in the heart. And ask Him to be helping you with that. Because that just shows what's going on, what's happening in our heart. And we don't mask that very well. But it can be like one of those little warning bells that says, you need to check this out, and you need to come back to me and look at how you need to be changed. So just challenge you with those things. And the reason for all of this, as we go back, as you look back at the main reason for this, is so that we as the body of Christ will be able to show Christ's love as well as speak the gospel. And we don't want our lives to be like that symbol that's drowning out our message that we want other people to hear. We want them to hear the love of Christ. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your goodness and your grace. And we thank you for your love that you have first loved us with. And we pray that you will be helping us in our lives, Lord, to demonstrate the love of Christ and to show that through our lives and through our words to others, so that other people may be able to experience your love and be changed for eternity, Lord. Lord, we know that we have so much in our lives that need to be changed. I just pray that you will help us to do that, not for our sake, but for your great name, that you would be seen as great to others. In your name we pray. Amen.